You are listening to PLV Radio Network. Join us in celebrating all of life's possibilities with inspirational, illuminating, and insightful talk shows. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Positive Living Vibrations with me, your host, Sarah Troy, and my guest today, all the way from the UK, Duati Bastille. I might be pronouncing that wrong. We will get it corrected. She is the founder of Holistic World. It's a world where she envisions opening up holistic world centers globally, a place that people can go to like a day sanctuary, you know, for the mind, the body, and the soul, for yoga treatments, for aromatherapy, for anything that kind of rejuvenates you. Because very often we have to rejuvenate our mind and our soul and our heart for our body to be rejuvenated. It's not just always the body. But she's taken this further. That's her wish list. That's her plan. That's something she really desires to do. But what is she doing now that actually is making a difference in the world? Well, she has written wonderful cards called empowerment cards. And it's for kids. And each card has an empowerment on it, but it also has a yoga move. So it's not only putting the kid into a mindset to look at what that card means, but also to get into a pose that actually can liberate that mindset into being. It's a great tool to use for parents, because the kids, in shuffling the cards and picking one, you are actually addressing the situation that is underlying there right then. It opens up to conversation and to dialogue, and maybe even to some group yoga and meditation. What a wonderful way to interact with your kids on a nice, even keel. I think this is a fabulous tool, and we're going to be talking more about that. But she's also written a book called The Grand Canyon, Magnificent Me, Magnificent You. It's another book that's an activity book, and it aims to empower young children to nurture their physical selves and develop their emotional well-being whilst building on their knowledge of the world they live in. So this lady is most certainly into helping kids get there right now, so that they can take this tool with them all the way through their lives. They don't have to be dysfunctional adults to then undo their old beliefs and the whole past to find their meaning and purpose and what they need to do today. They're taking these tools with them now in order to live their lives fruitfully and prosperously in their future by learning breathing exercises, yoga postures, just letting out a song and dancing to a tune, playing games, and it's guided relaxation and massage exercises. All of this here is to help the kids learn to interact with each other, with themselves, with their parents. Fabulous. So let's actually find out how she came about this and what was the journey in getting there. Welcome to the show, my love.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, because I love what you're doing. I love the fact that you're addressing the kids right off. You know, I deal so many with adults that have now taken that redirect and that journey in life. And had they had this tool when they were younger, they wouldn't have had to have such a rocky road. This is a wonderful way of teaching kids to learn to listen in, think, breathe, assess before reacting, and actually have a tool in order to de-stress or deal with a situation and communicate. It's all encompassing there, isn't it?
And it is. And looking at our young, they are the future generation. They're, you know, what's ahead of us. And if we can sort of look at the young and work with the young now to empower them and raise their consciousness and raise their level of awareness into the connection with each other and self-worth and self-value and self-love, that's going to have a global effect on the shift of consciousness. So basically, with the affirmation cards, they're just a tool that parents can use with their kids to get them to choose thoughts that empower them. But the sort of underlying message is to let children know they're each of equal value and equal worth, and their importance in the world you know, it's equally important as their peers. At the moment, there's so many different issues, so many different sort of media portrayals coming across that children are faced with. There's so many self-esteem issues. Children who are really, really young want to have plastic surgery because they're not confident with their self-image, which is quite
disturbing.
Sad. Yeah, it's quite. So if we can take it to the classroom where at an early age we can establish with children, you know, their self-worth, their self-love, their self-image, their self-belief in, you know, in their abilities and, you know, to pursue their dreams and to connect with each other and love and respect each other and know that, you know, they've all got different abilities, they've all got different skills, they've all got different gifts, but each separate individual is equally as important as the next. You know, everybody wants to be, say, if you're going to meet the Queen, you get very excited to meet the Queen, yes? But say you're going to meet the man who picks up your garbage, you know, every week. And say the Queen disappears or the garbage man disappears. Whose presence would you know, they would have an impact on your personal life. So within a classroom setting, each child has different gifts, different qualities. They'll be drawn to different careers, different, you know, different roads in their lives. But to know that their contribution to the world is equally as important, you know, as the next child that they're sitting next to, and then they each have equal respect for each other, that then raises that child's level of self-worth and self-esteem so that they carry that through to the rest of their life.
Yeah, there isn't this kind of separation, right? It's learning to respect everybody's role in life and not demeaning a role just because maybe it doesn't earn as much money. You know, that status quo. We need to teach value. Of life, right? Not just the lives, our own lives, but the lives of others around us. Excuse me. We see so much bullying today. My apologies. Yes, I swallowed the wrong way. We see so much bullying today, unnecessarily, and then people get on the bandwagon and, you know, kind of get behind the bullier, or even the people that walk by the bullier. You know, you're just as part as that problem. And if we empower the kids to deal with a situation, I don't think we would see as much bullying, because that comes from insecurity. That comes from somebody not feeling worthy. And in their own twisted mind, it is, if I bring somebody down, it elevates me. And we have to teach that that is not the elevation that they're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, and the sad fact is, kids who tend to bully are, you know, they do that because they've got low self-esteem, or they're being bullied, you know, from another source, and they're just reflecting back their pain and hurt onto other children. So then if we empower children to understand that I'm being bullied, not because there's a problem with me, not because there's something wrong with me, but maybe because the other child is feeling pain and hurt, and they're just reflecting it back to me, that then empowers the child who is being bullied to overcome that, because they will see it not as a fault of their own, that they're, you know, because they'll think, you know, okay, I'm going to show love to this person that's treating me wrongly, because it's clear that that person is in need as well, you know, and then that empowers the child to kind of rise above that and not be a victim to the bully as well, and that gives strength to that child.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing wrong with me, you know, just because this child is, you know, attacking me verbally or physically.
So I mean, the problem is with people who bully, and it's not just children. You've got bullying parents, bullying teachers, bullying siblings, you know, bullying neighborhood. It all comes from people, you know, not feeling adequate within themselves, living a life of fear, of expectation. They haven't found themselves. You know, the more, and it is reactionary. So when somebody bullies someone, you know, they react to it, and they can react in a fear way, they can react in a confrontational way, they can react in a retreating way. And the whole thing is that if you are empowering yourself, you know how to deal with this when it does happen. And we are reflections of each other, and maybe that reflection of your own self-love and empowerment can reflect back on that person and show them a way that, you know, there is
and
a way to
diffuse,
yeah,
diffuse their pain
and shed a little light
calm
on it.
Them.
You know, this is, you know, a lot of the people that get bullied are different. And if somebody shows, I embrace my difference, I love who I am, then it might turn the vision back onto the person who's doing it, parent, you know, student, no matter what, into that different does not mean flawed. You know, different is just embraces who you are.
I mean, diversity creates is the beauty of life. You know,
absolutely.
Diversity is the beautiful tapestry of life. If we were all clones of each other, imagine what a boring world. How boring that would be.
Well, that'd be droids.
In a set way, like the same things, dress the same way. That would be so boring.
We wouldn't last long either.
Is the beauty of life, and for children to acknowledge it and acknowledge, you know, their personal diversity. And, you know, kind of embrace that, and that strengthens their self-worth.
Yeah.
So if you have a whole generation of children who love themselves, know their self-worth, believe in themselves, and, you know, kind of like recognize and acknowledge the fact, I'm different, I've got, you know, I like different things make me happy, I look different, you know, I may not be, you know, the top sports person, but I could, you know, this is what I can do, and this is what I'm good at, and this is what I'm happy to do, and this is of equal importance to the world and to society. You know, if you show, you know, a child a jigsaw puzzle, you took out one piece from that jigsaw, the jigsaw puzzle wouldn't be the same. So the world would not be the same without that child. So if we, you know, nurture and inspire children to acknowledge that, you know, I am, you know, of equal importance to all the other children, that raises the self-esteem of a whole generation.
Yeah.
You then grow up, you know, go on into adult life, and that raises the whole consciousness of thinking, because it then becomes one of love and respect for oneself and for, you know, every other person, you know, contribution to life and importance to life.
I mean, we look at society today and we know it's dysfunctional. It's just not working. And the reason it's not working is because we have a whole load of dysfunctional people, you know, running everything. And it's, you know, it's people out there to please other people. It's people out there to prove something to other people. It's people out there going to climb that ladder at any cost on over anybody. You know, we've got the importance of what life is all about completely wrong. And this has led to this completely dysfunction in governments, in society, in what we celebrate in people. And if we can get to the kids now and get them on the right track, they will teach the parents, for a start. Mm-hmm. You know, they will teach each other in the community, and hopefully this next generation won't be so dysfunctional, and we'll start seeing society come together in unity as they're meant to.
Yeah, and then that goes globally.
Uh-huh.
With countries as well. Once you get that self-respect and self-esteem up, then that kind of like crosses borders. You can, you know, as adults, and you respect, you know, countries next door, and then that has a, you know, knock-on effect. You know, when you love yourself, you love your neighbour. Why am I at war, you know, with this person who's of equal value, importance and love as myself?
I mean, so what that somebody has a different religion? The whole point is the importance of actually having faith in something. We don't have to, you know, the thing is we need to learn to celebrate people and not dictate that, you know, there is only one God, or there is only one perspective, there is only one this, and I'm right and you're wrong. You're right for you. This is your belief. This is what feeds you. For that other person, the way they look at it from their perspective and what they need, it's different. And we need to celebrate that difference and bring the feast together and, you know, sample each other's, you know, delights and see what we can learn from one another. It's this constant segregation, you know, of race, religion, economics, language, you name it. It's got to stop.
Yeah, I mean, we're one big, for me, I just view it as we're one big family. This is planet Earth. This is our Earth. You know, we're here. It's important that we, like you said, just work together, respect each other, love each other. Why are we fighting? You know, why are we fighting against each other.
Yeah. You know, doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
I mean, if
planet Earth got invaded by aliens, the whole of humanity would unite against the aliens to fight against the aliens, say, if we were under threat. So why can't we unite now and, you know, live in harmony now and, you know, support each other now? It's, you know, it's profound.
Yes, it is, yeah. Do you get a show over there called MasterChef Junior?
We have MasterChef. I haven't seen MasterChef Junior yet.
Okay. Well, we've had a couple of MasterChef Juniors over here in North America, and it's all kids. And the kids range from 8 to 13. And, unbelievable, the food that they produce. Absolutely extraordinary that they have such palates and such style and are so calm and produce such excellent food. But also the camaraderie between each other. Somebody has a bad day, they're there to support. Somebody's frazzled and somebody else will go and help or just support them. Somebody leaves and they all gather around and hugs. There isn't any of this, I'm out to get you, I'm going to screw you over and I hate you. There isn't any of that. And they're such an example to us adults, and they shame us. And, you know, we can't let our children lose that as they grow up.
Definitely not. I'm sure that there are many adults who also have that camaraderie and support.
Yes, we just don't see it, though.
Adults are all bad. But it's kind of like, you know, reinforcing that from a young age to carry through to, you know, to adult, you know, adult lives, to create that new generation with that mindset and that thinking, you know, with that camaraderie and mutual respect and support of each other, as opposed to competing, as you said, and disregarding the effect it's having on, you know, on your fellow man.
And, you know, the thing is there is also this little bit of a stigma that of, you know, just hugging someone. What does it mean? It just is a hug. You know, a smile isn't an invitation, you know, for anything, you know, misconstrued. It's just a hello, how are you smile. You know, we've really got to get back to, I think, being just nice to one another.
Yeah, I mean, and it's quite shocking, like, you know, what you've just said, that, you know, you smile someone, they think, well, what's wrong with that person? Why are they smiling at me? You know, they
wear. What do they want? What do they want?
It's quite sad that we have reached that, you know, that sort of alienation.
Yes.
I mean, I know there's a new book coming out by Tony Salemini about, you know, about the oneness paradigm and how in first world countries we are becoming so cellular and not connecting with each other, and it's becoming, like he said in his book, it's becoming an epidemic of the modern age, and it's quite shocking and quite scary, you know, that we're sort of going further and further down that road, and unless you know something's done to sort of, you know, shake everyone and say, look, what's going on here? We're all, you know, we should be connecting
united.
Each other.
Yeah.
We're all interconnected.
Yes.
So our thoughts, our emotions are affecting the whole system. So it's kind of like, you know, it's a journey that we all need to join in together.
People don't realize that it's all vibration, do they? We're all energy, we're all interconnected, and that good vibrations are invitational. Bad vibrations, you know, create animosity. And that, you know, that, yes, you're going to be having a bad day, or, you know, something's happened in your life. And that's the time that you need to invite that support and care from other people. Let them in to help them heal you. But, you know, we can't do what we are doing as a human race. And when we see our children start talking racism or sexism or economics or, you know, anything else, when that comes out of their mouths, we know that's a reflection of their upbringing, of what's going on with the people around them, because kids are like sponges. And so if they're coming out with something racist, they've been taught that. They're not born that way. You know, we've really got to start looking at our vibration and what we send out to other people, and stop this him or hate towards one another.
Yeah, I mean, and it's quite shocking, even if you're like, you try to do the best as a parent, and your intentions are all, you've got to certain focus on what you want to expose your children to. They're exposed to so many things that are out of your control, from the games they play, the programs they're watching, from their interactions at school. So I've got two young boys, and they'll come out with with words or sayings that I'm like, where did you hear that from? That's not from mum.
Right.
You know, they're watching something on YouTube and they will say things without even knowing, you know, the meaning of what they're saying, just because they've heard someone else say it, or, you know, in a video, or they've played a game at a friend's house and they've heard swearing and they think it's funny, or, you know, and there's so many, you know, different things influencing our children. So it's kind of like reinforcing positive influence and, you know, positive messages to them to combat, you know, the onslaught of negative influences that you know, that they're also exposed to.
I think also consequences. You know, I used to, I wanted my children to be independent as much as possible. You know, really, you know, test their limits, you know, really expand themselves, but understand that little inner warning, that little voice, you know, that whole body that says, this doesn't feel right, don't do it. And, you know, they push their limits. You know, my son broke his femur and, you know, a couple of other things have happened to them along the way. Mm. You know, they have, you know, honestly admitted to me, gosh, there was a couple of roads there I wish I didn't take, but I've taken them and I have to own them and I have to learn from them. And all you can do as a parent, as we are custodians and guides, we don't own our kids, is just love them, nurture them, show them where those boundaries are. And they say, if you're willing to, you know, go over that boundary, understand there is a consequence, and are you willing to pay that consequence? So in other words, think before you do something. Weigh it up. Is it worth what the consequence is going to be? And I think we don't give that to our children. Well, not enough.
Well, I know my kids, I do try to reinforce them that, you know, it's one of the laws of science. If, you know, there's always a, you know, a reaction, you know, each action has a, you know, an equal and opposite reaction. So it's trying to get them to think outside, you know, outside of the box as well. Look at the bigger picture of, you know, how various things will affect them, and also just trying to sort of give them different opinions on things. Say if your child comes home and they're upset because another child at school acted in a certain way, it just kind of give them another sort of perspective, how to look at the situation in a more positive way, as opposed to you know, getting upset over someone else's actions, just to kind of look at it in, you know, in a more of an understanding way as well.
Yes, that's, I think, you know, we ask a lot of children because, you know, they're learning. I mean, they learn. And they're getting bombarded all the time. You know, they've got the social medias, they've got the TV, they've got school, they've got, you know, everything going on around them. And one of the things we don't teach them is to be still and trust that inner voice. Or to unwind and kind of look at something before rushing or judging or commenting on something. And this is, you know, we've, the tool that you've got here of slowing them down, teaching them a way how to tune into themselves, to tap into that universal energy, to think, to feel, to know. It's something that we know as adults is absolutely imperative to living a life of any form of balance and just living in spirit. But we need to teach it to our children because they are very easy to wind up, but they don't know how to unwind, do they?
Yes, especially in the modern world, it's so busy, it's so fast paced. Mm. There's so much going on, so many different activities. There's so, you know, even playing the computer games, their mind is constantly whirring. So with the children's yoga, that's a wonderful activity that helps them to slow down and just tune into their bodies. And have some relaxation time where they allow their bodies to rest and let their minds calm down, and also just to tune into their, you know, themselves, and just have, you know, some quiet time to just listen to their inner feelings and thoughts, and recognize, you know, this is me, and recognize their own personal self worth and self value, and, you know, passions and desires as well, just like listening to their own inner voice as well.
I mean, we we know as adults that, you know, because we didn't necessarily do this growing up, there was always that expectation to put on to what's your career going to be? When are you going to get married? When are you going to have children? When are you going to achieve this? That there wasn't that of what do you really want? How do you really feel? What is your real passion? You know, there weren't those questions asked. And we aren't going to discover any of those if we're always so busy and there's always so much chatter. Stillness and silence and just, you know, unwinding to a point where you can let that energy flow through your body.
Yeah, and gives you your own heart's voice.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful. Your own heart story. Mm. And that clarity and understanding of what you really want and desire out of life. Nobody is meant to, well, I mean, some people do. My brother knew he was going to be a writer from the age 6. That was it.
Yeah.
That was his direction. But most people will go through several careers before they find something that really truly speaks to them. But each one of those careers they do is kind of a tool in their kit of understanding that they carry on with them, you know, from one to the next. We've got to stop putting this expectation on kids of what the parent wants for the kid, as opposed to what does the kid really want and can we get behind them, because that's, you know, that's their true desire.
Yeah, so if parents could step back from, you know, oh, I want my son to be a doctor, or my daughter to be a lawyer. You know, they categorize important, you know, different careers, you know, in different levels of importance, and just accept this is my child's unique, my child's special, my child has gifts, you know, that's their sole gift to the world. Let me listen to them, let me hear what their heart's saying, what they're passionate about, and support and nurture that instead of instilling what I think is best for my child. Because in the long term, you know, my child may follow the path I want, but then they'll end up maybe not being so happy, and they'll end up, you know, going a very long way to find, you know, their true heart's desire. Whereas if I support them, you know, from when they're, you know, a baby, and nurture and inspire, you know, and listen to their passions and let them express themselves and listen to their heart, you know, it's a kind of like quicker and smoother journey, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's also, I mean, when we see through, you know, great programs, you know, over here, I don't know if you get it over there, The Voice, and of course we've got the American Idols, and you've got UK talent and all of that, and then we see these young people come out and they do a talent, or they do, or they sing a song, and you know, you look at them. I remember there was one little opera singer, and she, you know, she's a tiny little goofy thing. Mm-hmm. And yet when she sang, it was like, you know, an older woman singing for us. As one judge once said to her, I think you've just swallowed a human, you know, an adult.
Yeah.
And it's, there are old souls that have, you know, found this new body to come through and express and have this talent. If we don't nurture that talent, if we don't support it, you know, we're denying ourselves such beauty.
Yeah, and then it's like it will get lost with all, you know, with all the kind of baggages that we are sort of feeding to that child from ourselves. And I mean, as a parent, you know, each child that's born, even though, you know, they're different, you know, they grow up in the same environment, so that's the, you know, that's the soul. Each child's soul is unique and different, and if you believe in reincarnation, you know there's you know, soul memories coming through, and, you know, get different gifts and different skills from past lives. I mean, that's a bit of a way, you know, I know not everyone sort of believes in that concept, but as a parent, when you have two, I mean, like my two boys, they were born pretty close, and they sort of grew up in the same home, but they are very different personalities and very, you know, they have different passions, they have different sensitivities, they have different talents, you know, different creativity.
A different purpose in life.
Yeah, so, you know, there is so much more as well, that, you know, that each new, you know, baby's bringing into the world, and each, you know, human bringing into the world that they're going to be carrying forward in their life as well.
I mean, that's part of the joy of being a parent, isn't it? That discovering what your child is here for. I mean, that's what, you know, everybody asks, what's the meaning of life? Well, simply to live in a purpose that not just serves you, but serves your society. Not servitude, but, you know, of service to life. We're meant to participate not only in our own lives, but within our communities. We're meant to be united. But in being so, we're also meant to bring our individualism to the table. Not the droids, not everybody the same, not everybody doing the same thing, but bringing that beautiful diversity to the pot that serves everybody. And as a parent, when you watch your children grow and you discover things that they love to do, I call it divaism. Every child is born a diva, the ability to dream, to be inspired, to visualize and aspire to be it all. Adults, you lose it along the way because of the schooling system, society's expectations, everything. And we seek to get it back. But with children, when you watch them, they think absolutely everything they dream is achievable, don't they?
And it's all natural. It's a natural way of thinking, a natural way of being that we need to support and, you know, just back up instead of like bashing it down. We need to raise it up with them and hold their hand and say, yes, you know, great, you know, and, you know, just kind of like support that throughout their adult life.
You get some people, and I've known people who've done this, that, you know, their passion was to be a doctor, a musician, or this or that, and they go and do it, the parents get behind them, but they regiment it so much that when they finally get there and achieve it, they walk away from it, and the parents don't know why. Well, you took the joy out of it. You took the passion out of it, and when you do that, it no longer serves. We've got to remember to keep the fun and the passion in everything we do. Otherwise, it loses its meaning.
Yeah, and, you know, children naturally play. They naturally have fun. They naturally, you know, have a natural wonder for the world. They naturally want to explore. You know, they observe the real beauty of the world that we live in that adults take for granted and they might not even notice. You know, they say like a child will pick up a pebble and be fascinated with that pebble, that they can sit there and observe it, for a long period of time, whereas an adult will just walk past it. So children, the eyes of a child is so much more, you know, in tune with everything. You know, as an adult, we forget, we start forgetting to, you know, really see what's there in front of us. We kind of like, you know, start take, you know, just ignore that. You know, all the beauties around us.
We've lost our
children,
wonder.
They, you know, it's there naturally. They're that one, you know, that, you know, they will, you know, embrace it all just naturally.
I mean, you know, as a parent, I mean, I think as a parent, when you truly are interactive in your children's lives, seeing things through their eyes, you know, brings out the child back out in you. It brings out
that
wonderful
children keep you young because it reminds you, of the things that you forgot, you've forgotten.
Yes.
You know, it's like that Peter Pan thing.
Yes.
You know, he's still a child and, you know, as you grow up, Wendy grows up and forgets, but then, you know, having children around you reminds you again.
Yes.
You know, the fun and joy in life and the purpose and meaning, because you can lose track of that as you, you know, like you said, get bogged down with all the, you know, different expectations of the, you know, of the adult world.
And it's very important that you play with your children.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, playing with them, you know, on a team spirit, it doesn't matter who wins, everybody celebrates who does that. It's just the interaction and the playing. You know, and the other thing is being a little silly bugger. I mean, we would put on the music and everybody would dance, and we'd dance the weirdest, the craziest, the whatever way, and we'd sing along with it, whether it was good singing or not. But it was just a way to express and have a good laugh. And, you know, we need to find those expressions, don't we? You know, that we can do with our kids.
Yeah, and I mean, and kids will, they naturally express, they naturally laugh, they'll play, they'll have fun, they'll dance. I'm cooking in my kitchen, I can hear my children laughing, you know, in the other room, and it's lovely. And, you know, as adults, we control our emotions, we don't express ourselves more. When you play with your children, you like dancing around with your children, you're having fun with them, you're expressing yourself, and you're kind of connecting to your own inner child and letting that out as well. So as well as, you know, empowering your children to have fun and express themselves, and, you know, laughter, they say, is the best medicine for everyone. So it's, you know, playing for adults with their children, you're nurturing yourself as well, and your children love to play with you, they love to interact with you. you know, a lot of kids feel that their parents are too busy. They don't have enough time for them. And a lot of parents feel that they've got so much to do, you know, finding the time to play with your children is, you know, it's something they have to work on,
it's the wrong way round, isn't it?
But they feel like, oh gosh, I haven't got enough time to spend with my child that I want to because I've got to do blah, 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 blah. So it's like kind of getting a balance again.
It's also eating. I mean, for me, it was a round table. You know, dinner was important because that's when we discussed the day and that's when they could bring questions out. Very often there was a friend over who just stayed for dinner. And, you know, it became no holes barred. This was the place where somebody had mentioned this today, somebody mentioned that, what did it mean, or this happened. And it's a place where you dialogued and it was a safe place to do. There's so many people today who don't even eat with their kids.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the sad things of the modern world. I mean, society's changing so much. Children, the family structure's sort of changing. There's more single parents. There's a whole different family structure going on. So that there's that certain stability that, you know, was there when we were younger isn't there for children as well. And there's more challenges, you know, if you're a single parent trying to give your kids all the time and nurture and love and resources that you want to, you know, it's more challenging.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that parents have got different challenges as well, that, you know, they're trying to, you know, support their children in the best way they can with the limited resources that they have. So it's, you know, there's different factors, so many different factors that have changed as well throughout the times.
And this is where I think where community is very, very important, and that we need to come into play.
Yeah, because I think that's you know, one of the sad things of the modern world is that's kind of disintegrated. So we need to bring that back up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, get people to...
It takes a village to raise a child. Yeah. You know, the old saying, it takes a village to raise a child. And, you know, I mean, I saw something the other day. I can't remember which country it was. It was just one of those things that was blasted, where kids were being arrested for playing in the street.
Oh,
and
God.
I thought, what? You know, we were out there playing over there in the street all the time. And we were safe. You know, would hear of a crime now and again and it would have the whole community up in arms. But, you know, we would go to the park, we would do this, we would do that. And I have a lot of, my brother's 5 years older than me, my sister's 13 years older than me. So I would be out there with my pram and my dolls going for walks on my own as a young child.
And parents were confident to let their children do that. But unfortunately now, as a parent, we're worried to let our children out of our sight because, you know, different things you see in the media, and in a way, so because of our fear to expose our children to danger, we're stifling them as well from that play and that development and that fun that we enjoyed as children. It's difficult.
Yes, it is very difficult. And, you know, the other thing we're worried about is them being approached over drugs and then the selling of drugs. Mm. And, of course, girls, young prostitution, boys as well.
It's shocking, the statistics at the moment.
It is. And this has gone totally whacked. And the only way we're going to resolve this is if communities get together in their pockets we're going to be out there to protect our children's play. And, you know, give them a safe zone. We're going to watch over them. We're going to let them have that freedom. And we're going to support each other doing it.
We need to do that.
So let's talk about the cards and the empowerment cards. As I said in the beginning, you know, I love the fact that, you know, a kid can, because when they shuffle those cards, even if they just, you know, do it clump, 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 and they pick a card, that is, you know, kind of, in the core, the message that they're needing to receive or something they're needing to express. As a parent, you can look at that card and you can actually understand now that this is the dialogue you can have with your child. And it's always ask your kid questions. You know, what does this card mean to you? Is it speaking to something for tomorrow's or yesterday's or today's, and have it as a tool in order to have your children in confidence open up to you and communicate.
Yeah, I mean, and the how, I mean, the cards are like, they're there for fun, they're there to play, but it opens up dialogue that you wouldn't naturally think of, just, you know, talking to your child about. So if you pick a card, it might, you know, it might say, oh, be kind, and then you can talk about that kindness topic, why being kind to each other, you know, is important, and how we can be kind to each other, and how does it make you feel when someone's kind to you,
yeah.
And how do you feel when you're kind to someone else? So it creates, you know, an opportunity for parents to discuss different topics and, you know, form conversation, you know, on different, you know, issues, you know, that a child will come across in their lives, and just, you know, different ways of thinking, different positive perspectives on, you know, of just being. So it's just, you know, it's fun, but it's empowering at the same time. So it's just like, pick one randomly once a week, maybe on a Sunday, stick it up on your fridge, and it's something to, like, for that child to sort of think about for that week. You know, some parents don't want to do it more often, but it's, you know, once, at least once a week, we can, you know, sit down with our child and discuss something that's positive and empowering for them, you know, to think about. And it's just reinforcing, as we discussed earlier, children have natural no fear, belief, confidence, but it's reinforcing it. So when a negative impact comes in, they can reflect that because you've reinforced the positive messages in their thinking, in their way of being, you know,
yeah.
that makes them stronger as they go through life. And, you know, if they face adversities or they face challenges, they've got tools to empower them to kind of go through that and, you know, walk.
Even the permission to talk. I mean, this is something I would recommend to parents, is that make sure that you give time to each child individually, not as a group. Because they may want to express something about a sibling, or maybe they're feeling, you know, a little scared over a topic. And then, you know, it should be your one-on-one with parent to child.
Yeah.
Or parents to child. Because, you know, that should be, they should be feeling safe to be able to talk to you without anything else around them.
And if you start that young, then it will continue through to teenagers.
Yes.
A lot of parents said, my teenagers don't talk to me.
Right.
But, you know, you need to build that up. So it's, you know, it's not all of a sudden, I've got a teenager who's not talking to me.
Yeah.
So it's like building those that relationship.
That dialogue up there, that permission to be, you know, the old adage, children should be seen and not heard. Well, you know, we want to hear our children. We want to hear what their thoughts are.
So important.
Yeah.
Especially now with, you know, with the various things that they're faced with when they're outside, you know, out there in the world, whether it's drugs, whether it's peer pressure, whether it's, you know, pressure to have under, you know, sex. You know, there's so many different, you know, challenges that our children, you know, are facing, you know, in the world, that we want them to talk to us about. We want them to know they can come to us and, you know, we're there for them. They don't, you know, need to feel afraid or ashamed or guilty, you know.
But it's also, you know, not feeling like there's in the news today, two young teenagers ran off to join ISIS and now are pregnant and want to come back. It's just like, oh my God, you know, the ignorance of the children to think that ISIS was, you know, but they do, they play on them. Right, because they'll go and fill a need to those teenagers where they feel the parents and the whole community is against them, because you know what teenagers are like, the whole world is out to get them, and they know how to play on them, and this is what sexual predators do, this is what all these predators do. And so if the children have an open dialogue with you, there is that trust there, they're not going to go off and do things like this, because they know they can come to you.
Yeah, and plus they'll open up to you, they'll say, oh, this person said this thing, Mum, what do you think of this? They'll be used to sharing their voice with you and knowing that you respect their views and their opinions, and you know, you're not going to you give them, you know, that respect, so they know Mum's going to listen to me, Mum wants to hear what my views, my opinions, and then Mum will give me, you know, an equally respectful, you know, side from her. So it's, but if you sort of build that from a young age, then it's just natural. But if you kind of ignore it, and then all of a sudden your child's a teenager and you haven't built up that dialogue, that trust, that respect, mutual respect for each other, they're not going to come to you when someone says something that they're not quite sure of.
No, because you become the enemy, you know. That's the thing. You want to make sure that the children know that you are the custodian and the parent, but you're also that friend. And that they can trust you. Now, you use yoga a great deal with kids as a way of them not only physically tapping in, but that emotional, you know, that whole attunement. And you've got these cards that have these great movements on them. I can, so I will do. Give us a little bit more on those cards and on the yoga.
The cards are just positive messages that, you know, it's got a positive affirmation. So let me just pick one random here. But every cloud has a silver lining. So if you pick that one with your child and you look at it, you can then discuss, oh, what does that mean? Every cloud has a silver lining. But it also has a little commentary. So it just says, no matter how bad a situation may seem, if we look at, we look for it, we can always find something positive in every situation. So then maybe you can discuss with your child, say, what's happened that week, what's been going on at school, what's been going on with their friends, and if there's anything that has upset them, you can say, oh, let's have a look for the silver lining in that. And then that's empowering for that child to kind of, you know, think about something that they may have viewed as a sort of negative or, you know, or something that's kind of made them feel bad,
and you
find the positive in it. Then it lifts up their spirit and lifts up their emotions, lifts up their energy, and as you know, everything's interconnected, and that kind of like just, you know, lifts, you know, everything up as well.
Now, we're having a little bit of a technical problem with your voice going in and out here, so bear with us, folks, because, you know, worthwhile listening to. But, you know, you're a huge advocate of the, and you're magnificent me, magnificent you, the Grand Canyon. You're a huge advocate of you know, the ranging from the yoga postures, the breathing exercises, the games, the singing and the dances. So tell us about the Grand Canyon.
So the vision behind the series of yoga stories and activity books is basically just to connect children with the natural world. So the plan is to write a series, each based on the different natural wonders of the world. And within the natural world, there's lots of messages that we can learn from nature, from the world around us. And so within the story, I incorporate different messages with each story, which nurtures and inspires, you know, young minds. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the sort of activities, there's a whole range of different activities which support sort of healthy body, mind and soul, because the whole mixture from singing songs, we all know the, you know, how uplifting singing songs and playing games, and as well as all the movements and getting your body flowing and getting the energy flowing. So the vision for the books is just to kind of like reinforce our magnificence with, you know, each child to know that they're magnificent, and, you know, the other, you know, I'm magnificent, you're magnificent, you know, together we're all magnificent, and we are full of, you know, wonderful, amazing qualities that we that, you know, that's there waiting to be tapped into, and the world around us is full of amazing and beautiful things that we're learning from, and we can learn so much from nature as well. So that's, you know, the vision for the books, to connect, and because they're based, it's an international, there's an international theme running through the book, so it connects children all over the world when they will read the different stories, to know I'm reading this, and there's a child on the other side of the world, and this is where they're from, and this is, you know, the world around them, and they're the same as me, and they're going to be doing yoga as well. So it kind of links up.
Yeah.
You're drawing things family. Closer.
Yeah. And so the Grand Canyon, Magnificent Me, Magnificent You, the Grand Canyon you have right now, but you've got another one coming out called the Great Barrier Reef.
The Great Barrier Reef, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's quite exciting. And then after that, going to be the Northern Lights and then the Sahara Desert. So
oh, wonderful.
It's lots of fun.
Now let's go to the holistic world, because I know this is your dream board. This is what you want to have. You want to have like a holistic world in every community, a place where people can go to, you know, to do their yoga, meditation, you know, the aromatherapy, the massage, the, all of that, you know, pop in for the day, pop in for the hour, pop in on the way home. You know, this is your wish list.
Yeah, so like a little modern day sanctuary on the high street, and sort of escape from, you know, the hustle and bustle. So you can step into it, and it's calm and peace and tranquility and harmony, just inspiring and nurturing for the mind, for your mind, body, and soul.
So this is the wish list. What would it take in order to do that? Money, obviously.
But also collaboration. It's a huge vision. Collaboration of like-minded people who would love to make, you know, create this space that, you know, individual, you know, that we can go to and just nurture ourselves in.
So coming together, you know, to create that holistic world where everybody can, you know, pull their resources and create that sanctuary for people to go to.
Yeah, create this beautiful, you know, escape.
Yes. I mean, this
and have one in every town.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something I had wanted to do quite a few years ago because I thought it was, you know, people sometimes just simply can't unwind or do anything at home because it's always like they're cross-legged, they're busy humming and hawing, and then they see the dust under the table, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, a place to go to, you know, where there isn't anything else to distract them and they can just focus in on what they need to do at that time. And yeah. Then they come away rejuvenated.
I mean, I've studied colour therapy, I've studied feng shui, so it's all to do with energy, colours, sound, harmony, just creating that environment, you know, that incorporates, you know, so many holistic therapies and ideas and, you know, the power of colour within the environment and sound, and it's, you know, creating that, you know, wonderful.
And then the classes like meditation, Tai Chi, Qigong. I mean, Tai Chi and Qigong are just great for people who don't want to do kind of anything too heavy active because they're slow movements, but they get the entire chi, the entire energy through the body flowing. And so it's really great with people who maybe with physical limitations or older people because it's...
Yeah, so my mum and dad have just started Tai Chi at their local gym.
And it's really great because it's all about flow of energy, and it's, you know, that keeps that energy going through the body.
It's like you said, it's like, you know, it's something that whatever your age, you can, you know, benefit from it and embrace it.
And then, of course, aromatherapy is just like colour. As colour stimulates the psyche, aromatherapy and the smells all have these wonderful healing qualities.
Yeah, and like you said, it's all vibration. Yes. So everything's vibrating at different frequencies, and it's creating that sort of harmonious vibration that you can step into, and just, it's like a little bath of, you know, bath of love, or, you know, just embracing you, you know, as you walk into that space, kind of like calming and soothing you.
I love aromatherapy. I think it's absolutely wonderful. So, you know, it's and it has so many wonderful therapeutic uses, and very stimuli and very relaxing and everything. So what are you able to offer now? Because, of course, you haven't got your holistic wish list, you know, completed yet. But what are you offering the public now, other than your books and cards?
Okay, my holistic website, where I have a range of resources created by, you know, a wide variety of people. So it's not just about me and my ideas, it's sharing what others have created to support holistic lifestyle, whether it's eco-friendly products or a relaxation CD. And also I have a Your Say page where, you know, therapists can share their knowledge, their wisdom. Anyone can write an article that supports health and well-being. I will share it. I will link back to you. You know, you can spread the word about what you're doing as well. So it's also a portal where others can, you know, share their ideas as well. So it's not just about, you know, my ideas. It's a base where new ideas can be shared and new thoughts can be shared and old thoughts can be shared.
And you have an affiliate system as well.
I do have an affiliate system, so you can link up to Holistic World through the affiliate system as well. So that's also an option there as well.
And classes, etc.
Yep. And I have a corporate section which I'm looking to build to provide yoga and meditation and relaxation classes for corporates, because I know corporates are also looking to support their employees' well-being and also create a reflection well-being room within the corporate environment where employees can go and have time out, and just kind of have, you know, time for themselves to recharge their creativity, which then supports, you know, the working environment as well.
Yeah, well, that's very much needed, and I think they're beginning to actually understand that. That if you want, you know, your people to be productive and produce, then therefore you need to invest in your people. Because not only does it show respect, it breeds loyalty. You know, if you look after them, they will then in turn be loyal and look after you. And you get far more out of people by investing in them and supporting them than you do than demanding and threatening them. So I think it's something we're beginning to see corporations wake up to do, for sure. So we have the Magnificent Me and the Magnificent You cards out right now. You have the Magnificent Me and the Magnificent Grand Canyon out right now. When do we expect to see the Barrier Reef?
I anticipate definitely before the end of the year, the last quarter of this year.
So great for Christmas.
Yeah. So that'll be fantastic. And the reason is also to support, the Great Barrier Reef is currently under threat. So through the book, I'm hoping to support some fundraising to, you know, to help protect the Great Barrier Reef as well. So it's, as well as being a book to inspire children, you know, I also want it to be something that kind of gives back to the world as well in, you know, supporting the protection of the Great Barrier Reef.
Right. And, you know, I mean, it's important for people to understand that we... You know, we forget that there's beautiful wonders out there. And, you know, there's all this thing about making movies where we, you know, we destroy this planet, we go look to another planet to destroy. We need to change that thinking of, as we need to nurture each other, we need to nurture the planet, because we truly have a wondrous gift here. And so, you know, through our children, we'll teach ourselves. You know, the empowerment cards are an absolutely wonderful gift to go and give a new parent.
Thank you, Sarah.
For grandparents. Parents, you know, for obviously for, you know, to pick up, you know, for your kids and say that these are your cards, you're going to give me one whenever you feel like you need to talk to me. And, you know, just empower those kids. And of course, the book, another wonderful thing for people to be able to read, you know, along with their kids and do the exercises and things with them. And nobody says that you have to be great at it. It's the fact that you're participating with the child is something that's that is great.
Yeah, and interacting and having fun together and playing together.
Yeah. Now, you know, a little bit quickly on you, we're a little backwards, and you normally start with that, but, you know, you've travelled many, many countries, so you've seen some of the wonders of the world, but you started off being, before all of this?
Oh, where I'm originally from.
Where you're originally from, and also from, you know, what you started off as a career before you redirected.
Okay, well, I was born in Guyana, which is a beautiful place. And I grew up on the banks of the Demerara, if you know a little bit of geography, and the Amazonian rainforest. My grandparents had a farm. So I think from there, from growing up in nature and observing nature, that's given me my passion for the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've held baby chicks. I've seen, you know, little newborn cows being born. So that's all been my
foundation,
sort of inspiration for wanting to, you know, help children to connect with the natural world as well. Because for me, the place that gives me the most happiness is that being outdoors, being out in nature, just being in a field, sitting in the sunshine. For me, that's bliss. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's where my sort of natural, you know, heart is from nature. So that's where my inspiration is, to connect kids to know more about the natural world that they live in. So that's where my sort of, you know, roots are.
Right. And so that's what drives you forward. That's your diva.
Yeah, because, I mean, just watching a little droplet of water rolling down a banana tree leaf, you know, glistening, you know, after a, you know, rainstorm, it's like, wow, that's so beautiful. And when you're living in the city, these are things, you know, you don't get to see. So
yeah, exactly.
Kind of just building up that connection again between nature and
remind
life.
Us exactly what a beautiful world we live in.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something, and that nothing sustains, nothing, no living thing or anything in life sustains if you do not nurture it and invest in it. So a very important thing. If we invest in our children in the right way, by allowing them a voice, allowing them to explore, allowing them to see the wonders and allowing them to feel safe enough to communicate with you, we are giving them such wonderful tools that will serve everybody in the future.
Definitely.
So how do people get these books and the cards? It's a Holistic World.
You can get them on holisticworld.co.uk. There's new retailers coming on board all the time. They're on Amazon. Everybody knows Amazon. So they're there. You can Google them.
Right.
They're
wonderful.
There for you.
So that's holisticworld.co.uk. And, of course, would it be Amazon UK or just Amazon anywhere?
Yeah, Amazon anywhere should be there.
Okay. And, you know, I can't emphasize enough, this is just a wonderful tool to get an interaction going with your children, building up a trust factor, opening up a channel, and then with the Magnificent Me, Magnificent You, Grand Canyon, you know, teaching them that wonderful activity of a yoga posture, breathing exercises. When you say to a child, just breathe, take a few deep breaths, calm down. Mm. You know, these are all
things. And just knowing that as a child as well. You know, if I just take a deep breath, it's going to help me to calm down. If I'm feeling anxious about something, if I've got an exam I'm going into, you know, take a few deep breaths to help calm yourself. You know, just.
And also when parents turn around to their kids who have just destroyed something and say, a mother needs to take a deep breath.
Yes. Your grandchildren will say to their parents, mum, breathe.
Exactly. And so it teaches them respect of your boundaries and your limits as well. And so instead of like, wait till your dad gets home or I'm going to get you, it's like, I'm taking a deep breath. And that means, you know, there's going to be a moment here. So,
And in taking that deep breath, it allows you that
moment
space to calm down.
Yes.
And,
everybody to get through the thing to realize what the situation is. And now, of course, when we talked about consequences, there's clearly going to be some. And that's it in life. Instead of reaction or overreaction, it's learning to address the situation.
And teaching kids not to just react, trigger react, but to, take a moment to think about the situation and assess what's being said or what's happening, not just kind of like, be spontaneously combust.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and, they learn from us. So if we can get it under together, if we learn yoga or breathing or, or just suddenly do a silly dance or, I used to burst into opera. And my kids would, go, oh, no, because, they'll know. Mum's at her limit.
We're mirrors for our children.
Yes.
And even if you talk to teachers at schools or special schools where children have been sent because they've got, behavioural issues, they will always say, a child from a happy home isn't in our school. They've come from homes where there are issues, where there are problems, where there is abuse, where there might be alcohol issues or drug issues. So, kids, they're like sponges. They do absorb what's going on around them, and what's being said to them, and it's important to do the best we can as parents, and give out the best positive messages towards them to support them, and in schools as well.
Right,
that's a neutral environment where teachers can nurture and inspire children.
Well, this is another thing. Give these cards to the teacher. You can say, I want everybody to pick a card, and then she writes it down, and then it becomes something that she knows what's addressing, or he knows what's addressing. So, they are empowerment cards, and they can empower everybody to have that ability to communicate.
Yeah, so they could have one on the board for the week, so that the class to think about and just chat about, amongst each other, and get kids to open up dialogue with their parents as well.
Yes. Well, my dear, there's so much that we've covered here, and the bottom line of it is that when we empower our children, we're empowering our world. And thank you very much for creating these cards and these books, and for following your diva.
Thank you for having me, and allowing me to share my ideas, with your listeners. And thank you for your support and love on my vision.
Oh, well, like, you know, if you don't have a vision, you can't invite, right? You have to, what you've done is you've put your dream board up and you're manifesting and making it happen bit by bit. But if you didn't put it up there, how can you invite anyone to join it? So you've done it the right world. So that's a right way. So that's holisticworld.co.uk. The books are there. The cards are there. And, you know, keep me updated as to what you're doing as well. And I love what you're doing. So.
Oh, thank you. And I will. I'll keep you posted, Sarah.
Wonderful. Great. Because these are just fabulous tools, and we need all those tools out there that we can get in order to kind of bridge that gap with our children. And also, just as I say, our future's in their hands. So let's make sure that they have all the tools they need so they don't go and screw it up like we did.
We owe it to them. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to the world to, you know, support them in the best way we can.
Yes. Well, my dear, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on with us. I'm sorry there was a little bit of a technical issue through there, folks, but that's part of what the internet is about. But we've still brought you some incredible content and wisdom here today from Duarte and the work that she's doing. And I hope that you enjoyed it. And thank you very much, Duarte.
Thank you, Sarah.
And to the next time, folks, it all starts with just humanity, investing in it, being kind to ourselves, and being willing to receive and to give. Until next time.